Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw. We're in the bunker, Larson. There's a storm going on outside. Oh, my goodness. We don't get a lot of rain in Sacramento, but this year it's been all rain everything.
You mean historically speaking?
Historically speaking. We've been in a drought the last 5 years, man.
Yeah, but, you know.
This year.
If you take the long view, Sacramento actually gets a decent amount of rain annually.
Yeah, I know, but we have not known that. Like, that hasn't been the case. We thought this might be a desert wasteland. Anyways, we're to be found right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and everywhere fine podcasts are available. And be sure to hit that subscribe button. I will guarantee you, I'm looking at you. YouTube has unsubbed you from this channel. Yes, they have. Take a look. Check it out. Hit that subscribe button again. One person in our comment said, I'm a 14 time subscriber.
I wonder if that was a joke.
These days, you never know.
You never know.
YouTube is weird, man. Anyways, we're also found wherever good podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app. Be sure to hit that download subscribe button. All that activity helps the show. If you want to help the show financially, though, you can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson and support the show that way. We offer different award tiers, including access to the live stream version of the show once a week, postcards, comic book, T-shirts. All sorts of great stuff. So
yeah.
Be sure to go check that out.
Also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Thunder outside.
Oh.
There's a storm
Where's
coming.
Where's Lex Luger, man? There's a storm
His
coming.
His name is Thunder.
Yeah.
Including this Going In Raw logo T-shirt you can get at our store.
Tomorrow is Friday. By Sunday, we're going to have a sixth design.
Okay.
I don't know when it is yet. Maybe I'll just do the dirt sheet. Do people care about the people want the dirt sheet logo? One person does at least. One person.
All right, there's one sale.
There's one sale right there.
All right, let's get on to the business at hand. Why we're here today, Steve, to talk about 205 Live and NXT.
Yeah, man, it was a new day for NXT. We're gonna get to that in a second. 205 Live kicked off with Mustafa Ali versus a man with a plan.
The Brian Kendrick.
Can I just tell you right now, this is my favorite feud going on in 205 Live. Maybe it's a top five feud going on for me right now in wrestling.
Oh, Kendrick and Tozawa?
I love Tozawa.
He's great.
He is one of my favorite characters because he's hilarious. I love everything about him. He's well-designed. His little quips are hilarious.
Yeah.
The way he goes, ha, ha, ha.
He's really good in the ring.
And he's fantastic in the ring. He's amazing in the ring. He has boatloads of charisma.
Yes.
I love Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick. I think they match up perfect. I love it. What a very creative way to extend a feud. You had week by week Brian Kendrick giving his lessons to Akira Tozawa.
And now Tozawa's turned the tables.
There's no title on the line. It's all, but there's these lessons involved. That's a great way to build a feud over many weeks.
Yeah.
Without needing something tangible
to fight over.
Yeah. Exactly. So the episode kicked off, like I said, with Mustafa Ali versus Brian Kendrick. I like this match a lot. It was good.
Yeah, they did a good job of weaving several narratives into this match. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you mentioned Kendrick and Tozawa. You have Drew Gulak, who's seemingly on a mission to keep the high risk moves.
He's on his phone a lot.
Out of 205 Live.
Yeah, he's on his phone. I don't know who he's on his phone with.
I don't know either. And I think Mustafa Ali and Drew Gulak have kind of like a bit of a feud going too, yes.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
So that was all wrapped up in one match. As you said, good match, quality match. There's this one spot that made me laugh where Brian Kendrick crawls under the ring and Mustafa Ali, you know, goes down the ring and looks for him. Mm-hmm. And Kendrick pops up the other side, grabs Mustafa Ali's arm and rams him into the ring post.
Yeah.
Kendrick has Ali in the captain's hook.
Mm-hmm.
Ali's reaching for the rope.
Kind of near the ropes. Looks like he might reach it.
Oh, he's very near the ropes.
Before he does.
He's like 4 inches away, maybe.
Before he does, you hear the ring bell go off, and Lil Nate starts saying, hey, whoa, 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 who did that? Don't do that.
Yeah.
And you see like a guy with his back to the camera and a hat on, like, and he's like sort of just being all shady down there. And then he turns around, and with the biggest shit-eating grin, it's Akira Tozawa.
It was pretty funny.
Hey, buddy.
It was pretty funny.
He said, "Hey, Kendrick. Hey, buddy."
Yeah, after the match.
He said, "Hey, buddy."
So Tozawa rang the ring bell.
Yeah.
The ref, Little Nate, restarts the match. Mustafa Ali takes advantage of the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually hits an inverted 450 on the Brian Kendrick, wins the match.
Yeah. I like this. They're giving Mustafa Ali a little mini push here. I like when you're able to give guys like a push via other storylines.
That's always
quality.
I know. You're interweeving various storylines into one match.
Killing a couple birds with one stone.
Exactly. Mustafa Ali is good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too. He's a really good wrestler. You know, the one thing I've kind of noticed also with 205 Live lately, maybe they did it before and I just didn't notice because I was bored by everything, but I feel like the matches are breathing a lot more.
They are.
They are, right?
They're giving them more time, and then
they're giving them more time.
Especially the main event, I really feel like they let them wrestle their style.
That was a killer main event.
It was really good.
We'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah,
but yeah, Tozawa, he says, lesson two: appearances can be deceiving. Akira Tozawa cracks me up.
He's
dude.
Great
because the way, like, I don't know, the way he says things. Like, I know he's got like the broken English thing going, but it's obvious he's got a command of the language. It's just through his, and he's got such charisma in his voice. That's what it is, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I
love great.
It. He's great.
Next, we had a newly heel TJ Perkins interview.
So apparently, heel TJ Perkins is no better on the mic than face TJ Perkins.
I feel like
he tries too much.
I feel like he tries too much, but doesn't necessarily go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He seemed very reserved.
I feel like they have one bad writer behind TJ Perkins. That's what it feels. It feels like the writer has no idea what TJ Perkins' strengths might be.
I kind of feel like Perkins or whoever is writing for him or both needs to watch some Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
Use that as kind of the basis.
Yeah.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
Detached.
Yeah.
But then I think, you know, and Perkins kind of did this during the main event when he starts dabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that he's a heel, it's irritating.
Yeah, I know.
Play that up.
I like that aspect
of
it.
Yeah, play that up.
You're right,
There's ingredients there for him to become a really intriguing character.
Yeah.
But until they figure out how to do that, just don't have him talk.
There's no my thing is this. There's no reason for his character to be suddenly acting this way if what... Neville getting in his head and manipulating him, if you will, wouldn't result in him all of a sudden being a wise cracking arrogant prick. That wouldn't be the change.
No,
it would be more of an introspective change. It would be, man, I've been getting the shaft here and that kind of pisses me off. So I would think that character, you could draw a line between that and maybe brooding, maybe more of a chip on his shoulder. Not trying to crack wise, and that's what he's doing.
Yeah, he shouldn't be cracking wise. No.
I mean, I forget exactly what he said. I didn't write it down, but it was like, man, it's just more cringy trying to be clever with what he's saying. And I have no idea why there is such a distinct, why so many others are getting it right and they're getting it so wrong with him. I don't get it. That's weird.
I don't know either.
I don't know why.
I mean, it feels like they, regardless if he's a heel or a face, they have a very specific, they as in creative, a very specific character in mind for him.
Yeah.
And whether that role fits him as a personality naturally.
Yeah.
They seem to disregard that entirely.
Like Neville's heel turn was executed perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like hearing him talk, the way he carries himself and his motivation for going heel makes perfect sense, and it fits perfectly into what his strengths are.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the I understand the motivation behind Perkins' heel turn is interesting, especially now that he's kind of aligning himself with Neville, and Aries mentions it in an interview later on, hits it on the head perfectly that Neville's using Perkins as a buffer between Aries and Neville.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. The ingredients are there for a really interesting storyline. They just have to, I mean, it's encapsulated by the fact they didn't do anything to change TJ Perkins' entrance, theme, ring gear, you know, even just how he comes to the ring. He still does all the same things. Music's the same. Video package is the same. If this is a genuine heel turn, make adjustments.
Here's my thing.
Because he wrestled a slightly different style.
Yeah, he did. I totally get what you're saying, and I agree. I'm totally willing to let the superficial stuff, like the facade stuff, the outside stuff, the entrance music, his approach to the ring. Although I did think that when he did his little dab shit, there was a little bit more stank on his face when he did it.
Yeah,
he had kind of heel face.
Yeah, he had a smirk.
But otherwise, everything else was kind of the same. I would be willing to accept all that Maybe because him as a person, he just likes that stuff. That's fine. I want when he gets on the mic, what he's saying is a reflection of what's going on inside. And that, to me, is the biggest change that needs to happen.
It does.
Beyond what happens in the ring, of course.
I mean, I can look past the lack of changes in, as you said, the superficial stuff.
Yeah.
If there's a larger purpose to it.
Because if you remember,
like Neville, there's conflict in him about what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I get
the
that.
Superficiality of Neville didn't change immediately. It was a process.
Yeah.
You know, and it changed as he intensified with his heel role.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, I guess I can't expect instant change.
Comes we'll Alex not all of a sudden.
I know. We'll see where the character goes.
Yeah. Let's see here. Then we had Rich Swann versus a fellow named Johnny Ocean. I'm glad you picked up the name because I did not.
Yeah.
Johnny Ocean. What a great name, though. I like that name.
Yeah.
That's a good kayfabe corner name.
Right it really
there.
Is.
Johnny Ocean. Real or fake?
Well, it's real.
Well, it's real. It's correct.
It's real.
You get 1 point.
Point for me.
Put a finger up. Rich Swann, was his promo before or after the match?
After
the match. Okay. So they put on a match. Rich Swann picked up the easy win. And then Rich Swann, God, I swear it was before. Okay.
No, they replayed the promo from last week before the match.
Oh, okay. There you go then. There you go. So afterwards, Rich Swann cut a promo.
And he was saying, you're probably wondering why I was giving gifts to Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
And right as he's about to say why, Noam Dar comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He comes out with, did he come out with Alicia Fox
no.
at that point? Okay.
No.
So he just comes out and
says, why are you trying to take credit for all the gifts I'm being given Alicia
all
Fox?
The lovely gifts. Then Alicia Fox yes. comes out. And she's giving Rich Swann the, you know, go away kind of shit. And then a delivery man comes out. And Noam Dar, of course, falls for the trap because this was sent by Rich Swann.
Yes.
He claims it as his own, thinking that it's going to be another wonderful gift.
Yes.
And instead, it's some bizarre concoction where she opens up the box and then it shoots like powder at her.
Yeah. Corey Graves said, he said it smells like Gold Bond.
Corey Graves was, fuck, what reference did he make that cracked me up? He said, shit, which was it? Oh, damn it. I forget. He made another, like, I think it was a musical reference. And I forget what it was, and I forget what match it was. This is why I need to be sitting here with my stupid laptop.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was funny. Bottom line is Corey Graves is good.
Yeah, he's great.
So, yeah, then we had an Austin Aries interview. He was eating a banana.
He had a great line.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in reference to Perkins turning heel, Perkins is showing a severe lack of judgment, which should be expected from someone who still dabs in 2017.
See, he's on the same page.
I know. I felt like in several instances you wrote this episode.
I did not write his and TJ Perkins interview though. That led to TJ Perkins versus gentleman Jack Gallagher. This was a fantastic match.
They gave it 20 minutes.
This
it was
great. Fantastic match. This is a really good match.
Yeah, a lot of really good back and forth in terms of working limbs. Perkins was working over Gallagher's knee.
Mm-hmm.
Gallagher, especially the beginning, was this kind of, you know, teasing.
Yeah.
Perkins with some of his moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, Perkins got the upper hand, really started working the knee over. Gallagher would try to come back. There was this great, 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 great headbutt spot where Perkins was going for the wrecking ball drop kick, I think it's called.
Okay.
And Gallagher lifts up the ring apron.
Oh, that was great, yeah.
Traps Perkins, gives him a nasty headbutt.
Oh, I love that.
That was great.
That was great. Whenever I see these matches, I'm always thinking, man, this is something that we'd totally see like a PWG.
Yeah.
They are really letting him go at
yeah.
it. And it's
yeah.
really, really fun.
Especially in the main events, it seems, of late.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I wonder if the numbers are going to reflect that, like, in the ratings. I don't know. People might, they might have just killed themselves at the outset with this.
I know.
And I wonder if, like, if it's going to go unnoticed. I don't know. Because, like, we sort of pay attention to little things. And if you actually pay attention to the shows these days, they're actually really good.
I know.
Yeah, it's been really
good. Yeah, they've been fun shows. Perkins eventually wins with a detonation kick. And then Perkins walks up the ramp and is met by Neville. They raise their hands in victory. And Perkins really had a really interesting look on his face as the show ended.
Mm-hmm.
He had that kind of smile on his face that as if he's, you know, saying to Neville, I did good, right?
Yeah. No, that
I did it right.
Yeah. That kind of thing that I love that. That's
yes,
what
that was great.
Played up. Yeah, totally. Then yesterday we had NXT last night.
Yes.
The first, the man, they made a huge, like, new era after WrestleMania.
Yeah, we had a new theme song, new intro package. Yeah. What do you think of the change?
It's going to take some getting used to, but I'm fine with it.
So used to the previous song.
I know. It really did get me hyped up for it.
It did. It's a good song.
I'll get used to this one, though. Here's my only complaint about it. I feel like that little musical intro where not a lot's happening, but they're showing the entire roster before it kicks in.
Yes.
And then you see the entire roster again.
Yeah.
I feel like that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It has that weird like border on the side, but not on the top. And there's like the film scratches on it.
Yeah.
That I could do without because it doesn't really rev up. It mills about until the beat kicks in.
Yeah.
That I can do without. Otherwise, I'm actually okay with the song. And I like the new sort of graphic design they're going with. It's kind of akin to the old one, but it's a bit more flashy.
Yeah.
But I actually really, really like the design aesthetic of it. It's just that that old theme was so iconic.
I know.
The roar of the crowd. It's funny because like when we first started listening, you were like, that's too literal, which it totally was.
Yeah.
But it's wrestling. You know, it's okay to be too literal sometimes. Yeah. And it did got me revved up for it.
I know. So, you know, for the last 2 years, we've been hearing that song and seeing some, you know, various versions of that intro package.
Yeah.
Just got so used to it. It seemed like it's not, you know, a huge change, but it is a change.
Oh yeah. No, it's definitely
gonna
a change.
Take a bit to get used to.
Here's my only concern. And this comes from a production standpoint. A lot of the shots of the various roster people in NXT of the wrestlers had some very specific, like animated lines.
Yes.
When they get called up, because there's a fairly like they switch that shit up a lot.
Yeah,
you know, whenever there's a call up like around WrestleMania, SummerSlam, when there's a call up,
they take the call ups out and put new performers
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're gonna have to. Somebody's gonna have to go in. They can't just swap footage which they could do before.
Yeah, no, they have to reanimate the the graphics. Yeah,
that's annoying. Somebody's gonna have to deal with that.
I'm
shit.
Sure with enough lead time, it should be fine.
What a packed episode!
Yeah,
of
it was
NXT.
A really fun show.
I fucking love
really
this episode
fun show.
Of NXT. Holy shit! And it solved a problem for me that I had
at TakeOver. Yeah, you want to know if Tommy End, Aleister Black, his finishing move could come out of nowhere?
And it fucking totally did. That was fantastic. Oh my, dude! Seriously, I was looking at Tommy End merch last night. I was like, next paycheck, I am get.
He still has a merch store?
Well, he was part of a tag team called the Sumerian Death Squad, I think, which is an amazing name. And he's got some really good-looking merch. Tommy and merch.
I had no idea.
Sumerian Death Squad online store. Look at some of this shit, man. Like that right there.
Oh, that's
that
cool.
Right there is rad. That shit's cool. I don't know what that is. That's cool. Look at this. Religion is war. That's heavy.
Wow.
That's some cool shit though.
Yeah,
still
it is.
Get it right now.
That's cool.
So I'm freaking all in on that, man. I'm going to get all that shit.
So let's talk about this Aleister Black match against Corey Hollis. Wasn't much of a match.
There was no match. Corey Hollis ran at him. He was standing there like with his
Hold on. Let's set this all up because they really heightened the drama of like a 15-second match. So Aleister Black's music kicks in. And I was worried at TakeOver that his kind of vampire type entrance where he's on that platform and just raises up was strictly a TakeOver thing.
Yeah.
Nope. Apparently that's his regular entrance and that's brilliant.
Oh, I love it.
It really sets the mood.
It really does.
So
he
raises up.
He looks so fucking cool.
I know. He raises up on the platform.
I got to watch my F-words. YouTube is demonetizing everybody.
Slowly walks to the ring. I love when he does the flip over the rope and just instantly sits down.
Oh, I know.
So good. He just sits there. You know,
his
stairs.
Theme music is rad.
It is.
It's so cool.
So Corey Hollis is already in the ring. So Aleister Black stands up, takes a couple steps back, and just stands there with his hands behind his back like this, staring.
Staring at him so intensely, though. It's great.
Doesn't do anything.
I know.
So Corey Hollis is kind of perplexed. He doesn't know what to do.
He starts to get sort of generic wrestler revved up.
Yeah.
Like he starts bouncing around saying, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And Nigel McGuinness makes the point. He says, well, for a wrestler, I'm not going to do a British accent. He says, for wrestlers, having a calm before the storm can help them perform during the match. He says, you don't want to get all revved up like that. And sure enough, Corey Hollis shot in and ate a black mass out of nowhere. It was fantastic. And that shit hit flush. How does that dude do a spinning heel kick and lands it to perfection?
Maybe they practiced before the show
started.
Years
of experience is the answer.
That too.
I know that. But still, that was fantastic.
Yeah,
that was
pretty cool.
Fantastic.
And so he...
Oh, my God, it was great.
He hits the kick, pins him.
Yeah.
And then just sits back down.
Yeah. Oh, it was beautiful. It was like the best wrestling match ever.
They've really nailed the packaging of Aleister Black.
Hit it on the head.
They've really got it down.
It's perfect. On the head.
And now, you know, he'll have some more matches, start developing his character over the next months, and in 6 to 8 months... You could have a top guy in NXT easily.
6 to 3 to 4 months. Are you kidding me?
Potentially.
I mean, it depends on what they want to do with him. But
I think it's plainly obvious they want him to be a top guy.
And it depends. You're right. What I should have said, it depends on what they want to do with the title between now and when they start pushing him for the title. Because, man, it could happen right now, man. He looks fantastic. Could you imagine? Like, I would love to see it be Tommy End versus Bobby Roode.
There
might be a champion between them. I'm not sure.
We might have seen the next NXT champion in the main event of tonight's show.
What was the main event of tonight's show? Oh, yeah. That could be. So
after this match, they had a Ty Dillinger interview.
Yeah.
Where they talked to him about going to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah. That's great. I worked 15 years of my life to get to this point, but I still have unfinished business here in NXT.
Yeah.
And that's sanity.
Yeah.
So he said he talked to William Regal on next week's show. He's going to have a match against Eric Young in a steel cage.
Yeah.
We called this maybe a month or two ago.
Totally called this shit.
That this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So next week will be Ty Dillinger's last NXT match in a steel cage against Eric Young. Should be good.
Yeah, it should be really good.
Looking forward to it.
I'm assuming Eric Young goes over there, right? You do the job when you're leaving.
I don't know.
I would think so. Build up sanity. Sanity needs that way more than Ty Dillinger. On the other hand, Ty's the hero, so who knows?
Yes.
Let's see here.
Next, we had DIY, who are still in NXT.
Yes, they are.
Taking on, I don't believe he's
yes!
Either.
Oh, I love this guy.
I don't think we've seen either of these competitors
yet. What a monster.
Dylan Miley.
Yeah.
Who's huge.
Yeah.
And Michael Blaze.
No. His name is Broken Seth Rollins. Didn't you hear
that?
No,
I heard that. I heard the
Broken
chant.
Broken Rollins.
I heard the chant.
This Dylan Miley guy. Oh, my God.
He's massive.
He looks like a creative character on full veins. Oh, my God. He is.
I think they said he was 6'3", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
He's massive.
Which 6'3 doesn't seem like that, but like when you pack 300 pounds on that, and it's just muscle.
It's all muscle.
On muscle.
It's all muscle.
On muscle.
It's all muscle.
And they did a couple close-ups on his face when he looked mad. Ooh. It didn't look like fake mad. This dude can project like you're going to piss yourself. Like,
yeah, I know.
The way DIY sold, this was great because DIY were selling the hell out of Dylan Miley.
Yes, they were.
They really were. We had... Psycho Killer, what's his name? Thomas Ochampa?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in there against Dylan Miley, and they did this great sequence where, like, so there was, like, an Irish whip, and Dylan Miley, they did the thing where Thomas Ochampa tried to, like, clothesline him, and there was zero effect. It just, like, his arm whipped back as Dylan Miley whipped across him, like, ran across him. It was great. And he was like, how do I do this?
There's another, we'll get to the match first. Dylan Miley had the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason tagged in Michael Blaze.
No idea why.
Probably that's how the match was booked.
Yeah.
DIY pretty much instantly got the upper hand, hit their finisher on Michael Blaze, won
the
match.
He was not impressive.
And there's this, after they hit the finisher, Gargano was making the pinfall, and Tommaso Ciampa went to the ropes to make sure that Dylan Miley didn't get involved.
Yeah.
And he ran over there and realized who he was and was like,
he starts doing this, like, just chill. We're getting the pin over here. Relax. You're
it's
not
good.
Invested. You're
it's
not
all good.
Be that invested here.
Yes. So DIY wins. They leave. Dylan Miley enters the ring.
This was great. Hold on a second. Set the stage. So they leave, and then the camera goes on to close-up on Dylan Miley, and he's just looking at Broken Rollins, and the crowd is just eating it up. And Miley's just looking at him. But like I said, it didn't look like he was performing.
No.
It looked like he was legitimately disappointed. I know he was. I know it was a story. I get that. It's not real. But his face was just disappointed and pissed off all in one. And he took it out on
Michael Blaze.
Oh, my God. It was great.
And destroyed Michael
Freaking
Blaze.
Murdered him.
Destroyed him.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ciampa especially. his reactions to
Dylan Miley. Pretty good.
Fantastic.
Pretty good.
Like, okay, big man, just chill out. Oh, man. Then we had some unintentionally hilarious Ember Moon package. This was terrible.
I didn't mind this, actually.
Oh, my. This was so bad. This was so bad. This had, like, theater nerd written all over it. It had the slow piano going, the sad piano.
I know. It was cheesy.
It was so cheesy. It is not doing anything for her, man. It is not doing anything for her. It's so... I know. Here's the thing, dude. You want to like Ember Moon. And I love Ember Moon, and you do too.
Yes.
So you want them to do good things for her. This was not.
Here's the thing.
This was not.
You know, you give WWE a certain amount of credit for trying something different with the Orton-Wyatt match at WrestleMania. This was different. I've given up on them presenting Ember Moon as a character with mystique.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
And so...
Don't make her look like a theater nerd.
No, I know, but they went...
No offense to people
they went,
in theater.
They went a long way to really... I don't know. It
didn't work, man.
I didn't have a problem with it.
Totally didn't work.
I didn't have a problem with it.
It was so cheesy.
It was cheesy.
The slow piano,
it was
really
totally cheesy.
We need the piano in there.
It was totally cheesy, but they took
overboard.
They went a different way... Of just showing how utterly disappointed she was with the results in that match.
I'm not opposed to the basic premise of what they did. The execution, it made her seem so very pedestrian. It made her come off as so... It made her look weaker in my eyes. I really, when you get Aleister Black from... conception to execution so pitch perfect, when you get so much else so right from conception to execution in NXT,
mm-hmm.
and you stray so off course, the slow piano, are you serious?
So I thought I made her somewhat relatable.
Oh man, not me.
Because if I were in her position and was set up to win the title and then have Asuka bend the rules to retain, I'd be pretty disappointed too.
That's fine, but how the way they show that being executed, you know, how did this not remind you of when George Michael and Arrested Development would be walking around and the Snoopy music's playing in the background? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like literally, all they needed to complete this was her hanging her head like this, walking around. That's all they needed. This was terrible.
I don't think it was that terrible.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad somebody else found value in it. Then we had Ruby. I love Ruby Riott.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that package.
Dun, dun,
I would have preferred them. Again, I just compared to how you feel about the Wyatt Orton match at WrestleMania. Rather than just have her do another interview backstage saying how disappointed she was, they took a different approach. They used the empty arena. It's kind of a metaphor.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate the fact that they just didn't do another backstage interview.
No, they didn't have to. I'm not saying they should do that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm even saying that the basic premise of what they did is fine.
Yeah.
The execution was so bad, though.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
No, it was bad, dude.
It wasn't great.
It was bad. Put it in black and white. Add some drama that way instead of the slow piano. Or put some cool music behind it. That's like, you can have cool music that's still like dramatic and melancholy and
no,
reflective.
I agree.
You can do that. You can have like really cool... DSLRs are not, they could do this all over the place. Like, get some depth of field in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she's walking around talking, and it's obvious that they just filmed this and they toss some slow music on, and it's just sad. And it's just, it didn't work. I made her look weak. I want her to come off as, this could have been a very dramatic thing.
Well, let's wait and see what happens next. Maybe this is just, you know.
Well, I'm talking about this in a vacuum.
No,
okay,
I know.
Talk about
well,
this in
I mean,
vacuum.
You can, but then also maybe what they do in the following weeks. We'll add some extra context to that.
Nothing that they do will change the execution of this package.
I know. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying just give it time.
Okay. I'll give it time.
The execution could still disappoint you, but how they treated that moment as a story beat can be enhanced with further story beats down the line.
I disagree with that because this in a vacuum, you have to look at it in a vacuum.
You can, and but this, also you can look with it in the context of a larger story.
This cheesy execution just did not work for me
okay,
at all.
That's fine.
Ruby Riott took on Kimberly Frankly. Yeah, it was Frankly.
Yeah.
I love Ruby Riott. I even thought Kimberly Frankley was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's a quality wrestler
from
Seattle.
I think that's, yeah, Kimberly.
Kimberly. Oh, okay.
I believe that's Kimberly.
Oh, okay, cool. Good call there. I love Ruby Riott. She gave a little promo beforehand. This sort of reminded me of early promos in WWE in general.
Yeah.
Are never all that great. I thought she did fine considering this was an early promo.
Yeah, it was
fine.
Have
you ever seen CM Punk's very first promo?
No.
In WWE? It is bad.
I mean, I think you've mentioned that before, yeah.
Because he has to go overboard in telling you who his character is.
Yeah.
I'm straight edge. And he has to introduce the concept of straight edge as if nobody's ever heard of it. And which I'm sure a lot of people
hadn't.
Yeah,
some people might not be familiar with.
No, I'm sure a lot of people hadn't. But like he came off more as like an after school special character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was kind of similar. Like whenever they do these straight up, like this is who I am.
Yeah, they
this
want
is what I'm
people
doing.
To get to know these competitors.
Right, exactly. I'm just glad they didn't do the same thing with Aleister Black. You know what I mean? Like that
pitch
perfect execution.
Yes.
Ruby Riott did one of those things. That's fine. Her character, like the people not really knowing who she is. It's fine. Sort of a get to know you kind of thing. Because she's supposed to be kind of a relatable character, but like a punk character.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So other than that, that was fine. I thought she seemed very comfortable talking, which mm-hmm. is good. Match was really good. I like this. I mean, this is just solid wrestling, you know, that's what you want. Nikki Cross came out first. She came out like she came out from the crowd.
Yes.
And like, just started doing the barrier,
oh, the ring barrier,
the ring barrier.
Yeah.
She started stomping that. And then she came and milled about and watched the match.
Yeah,
she looked very sweaty.
But she seemed atypically reserved for Nikki Cross.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't like spazzing out. No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looked very sweaty. Might smell. Maybe. So anyways.
I was thinking the other day that it's a bummer that Sami Callihan didn't sign with NXT maybe a year ago versus 3 years ago or whatever.
I agree.
He would have fit in really well with Sanity.
He'll be back.
Probably.
He will be. I will
probably
guarantee you. You see like the number of people who have gone and come back like... It's such a different thing now than it was when he was released. You're absolutely right. If he had signed a year after he did or 2 years after he did, I don't know exactly when he signed or how long he was there. But and I'm pretty sure that his release was mutual.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping it was amicable.
Yes.
Because I would love to see him back.
Yeah.
As not a hacker character.
Yes.
What was the name? Solomon Crow?
Yeah.
Yeah, bring him back. Ruby Riott won. With a kick of some sort. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Next, we had another video from Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
You know what had made this so great?
Hmm.
Is if when they're filming this, they run into Ember Moon while she's filming hers. That would have been great.
Well, that was at the different places.
Yeah, fine. I know.
So they are going through like the trainer's area.
That was
in
hilarious.
The performance center. Yeah, this was funny. They go to one of the trainers' room and Liv Morgan and Aaliyah are in there.
Yeah.
Aaliyah was getting some treatment, I think, for some sort of arm injury.
It looked like it, yeah.
And then Liv Morgan pushed Billy Kay into one of the whirlpools.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was good.
I can't get enough of slapstick humor. Anything that's like the Three Stooges I'm in on. Man. I think it's great. No, this was cool. I like it because you see Norman Smiley milling about. Back there, you see Chris Hero, I think.
Yeah, he's on the trainer's table.
Yeah, I think if you look closely, you can kind of see him like roll his eyes because they're coming through. So he's in character always. That's great. So they come through, and Billy Kay's just running down like the area, like the office area. Like it looked like the break room, maybe. Like before the trainer's area, there was like a bunch of pictures like this.
And they had
make this a shrine to us.
They had that, the Bailey.
Yeah, they had the hugger thing.
Picture we have there on one of the doors.
Like a bunch of signed pictures of NXT alumni.
They had a Finn Balor one. We have a Finn Balor. It wasn't that one, though. Anyways.
No, it was cool. Yeah, dumped her in the water. And the trainer like couldn't stop from laughing.
I know.
He was giggling the whole time. It was great.
After that, we had the return of Drew McIntyre.
Versus our favorite Oney Lorcan.
Stiff match.
This was a stiff match. What was with that bit towards the end? You don't have to wonder about this. Drew McIntyre went backed up. Like, Oney Lorcan was against the ropes. It was, like, right before the finish.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre elbowed him.
He elbowed him. He was up against the ropes. Because he ran into Oney Lorcan, who tried to... There was this miscommunication, it seemed like. He tried to throw a leg up, and Drew McIntyre kind of awkwardly ran through it and gave him an elbow, I think.
I think he's supposed to run, instead of hit the leg, run... between the legs,
okay,
elbow, and then transition to that move. I think it was just the transition.
Move was ridiculous.
Yeah, and it busted Oney Lorcan open.
I know. That move looked like it shouldn't have been a move. It's just, it's too much. Like, he literally, like, the knees are, like, even, it felt like the knees were all, like, back here, and he had, like, the shins or something.
Yeah.
And then he, like...
Yeah, it was like a reverse Alabama slam.
Yeah, it looked ridiculous. It was cool as shit. It looked ridiculous. Man,
Drew McIntyre is a stud.
He's big. Why didn't he always have that beard?
I know.
That beard makes him look like Riker from season one of Next Generation to season two.
I know.
Because holy crap, he looks like... And also, he bulked up during his indie run, didn't he?
I don't know if he bulked up or just kind of got more cut.
I think
or a little bit of both.
I think he added, man. Hold on a second. McIntyre.
But I think also it seems like those 2-3 years he was on the indie circuit,
mm-hmm,
like just, we talk about experience a lot.
Because look at him here. His, yeah. I feel like his shoulders are,
yeah,
like
he bulked
way
up a little
bigger.
Bit.
I think he bulked up a bit, man.
Those years of experience added so much, it feels like dimension to his personality.
How long was it even? Because it feels like it's been a day.
3 years ago.
God, it was 3 years ago.
I think
it was
2014.
I think you're right about that.
It seems like you can just get a sense of the experiences he's had in the last 3 years just on his face.
Oh, my God,
adds
I know.
So much more personality.
He looks like he's aged 10 years.
I know.
And it's great.
It is.
I think, you know, you're absolutely right. He's totally a stud, man.
Yeah, he's totally a stud. McIntyre wins with, I think they said, a one-leg drop kick. On a busted open Oney Lorcan after a really stiff match. There's some awesome spots. Oney Lorcan did a couple moves while Drew was on the outside. The third time Drew caught him and did like a reverse slam on the ring apron.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really good.
Good physical match. Drew gave an interview after the match.
Oh, I like this. Yeah, he says, I've got the raw talent. I can lay the smack down on anyone, but I wanted to come here to NXT.
Yeah, it was good.
No, it was really good.
And if I were a betting man, mm-hmm, I would say Drew McIntyre would probably be, at this point, the man to take the belt from Bobby Roode.
If there's ever been, I'm still going to say no, but if there's ever been a time when a mid-level belt in NXT was warranted,
oh yeah,
it would be now. Because if you look at like Chris Hero, Roderick Strong, Aleister Black, Drew McIntyre now, of course Bobby Roode, they're up at the top. I mean, there's a lot.
Eric Young.
There's a lot of really good talent that, man, in NXT, it's fantastic.
I know.
Who do you think they're going to, Aleister, why are you talking about Corey Hall? I wonder who's going to get into it first with Aleister Black.
The first real feud?
Yeah.
Eric Young would make sense.
Could you imagine a Sanity versus Aleister Black?
Eric Young would make sense.
Who wouldn't want to see that, man? God, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. The show concluded with the farewell to Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
Where one of our friendos, Karen, we met her at the...
At the Progress show.
That's right. She was all over that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they had a big close-up on her crying.
Yeah.
Very emotional time for fans of Shinsuke Nakamura and, of course, the NXT, the Full Sail family there. And it was great. He said, basically, got on the stick, and he said, because of you people... he said, I had a lot of success in Japan. I was a champion there. He says, but NXT is
his home. Yeah.
It's his home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the entire roster, the entire locker room, save for a couple of the heels, came to the top of the ramp, and he went and Finn squeezed his way in.
I know. And it seemed like after he shook Shinsuke's hand, he didn't know what to do. Didn't it seem that way?
No, it totally did. He was like... Should have just done the Finn freeze.
I know.
That was great. Anyways, let's answer
Really good episode of NXT.
Yeah, it was. Let's answer some questions.
Yes.
You all have questions.
Number one, jobber Alex Ponce. Does Aleister Black have the most badass theme in a long time? Yeah.
There's been a lot of really good themes, but yep, it's really, really good. It's really, really cool.
Here, I'm just going to do this question real quick because he brings up something. Terrence Thompson, that Ember Moon package was absolutely cringing.
Too sweet of that.
For a supernatural gimmick, they've done nothing but portray her as the opposite. Is this good or bad, and do you like the direction they're going? I mean, I think based on just general packaging, we thought it was going to be a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious it's not.
Yeah.
I still think, not necessarily a supernatural thing, but just giving her character some mystique.
Yeah.
Is probably the better direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
instead, they're trying to make her like really relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you're going to pair against Asuka, that makes a certain amount of sense because Asuka is you know, she's so badass.
Yeah.
She's not really relatable at all.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, in terms of the storytelling that they obviously are going to be doing for the next few months, I get that.
Yeah.
I'd still prefer the Mystique, but I understand the logic behind what they're doing. Execution is questionable.
It's a it's confused direction, I think, because you're right. Like going up against the nothing but Mystique Asuka, you want somebody who's relatable because that increases the drama.
Yeah.
Totally get that. She was presented from the outset, superficially through her packaging, as a character who has Mystique.
Yeah.
And they sort of ran away from that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's whatever. Because I think, you know, once you hear her talk in interviews, she can be a very relatable character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally fine. I don't think they're doing any favors to her with the package. Like, cause it brings her from relatable to, man, you have no shot. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be... After seeing that package, I don't believe, as a fan, I don't believe it. I don't believe that she has any chance against Asuka. I really don't.
Even considering the match they had, where Ember Moon had the upper hand most of the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Because in the end, Asuka, it was a 10-minute match. Asuka laughed it off.
See, I don't think she laughed it off. She laughed. What she laughed about was what she did to win. I don't think she laughed off the match, though.
Yeah.
I think we interpret that match differently.
Yes.
And based on my interpretation of the match, I don't think that package bugged me as much as it bugged you.
Let's see here. Because Baron Corbin says, I'm going to an NXT live show in South Carolina this Friday. That's awesome. Good for
yes.
you. His question is, who are some of the superstars you guys enjoy watching the most live?
Oney Lorcan.
That match with Roderick Strong was so fantastic. Much fun to watch.
That was really good.
Watching Ricochet live, yes. Like... As cool as he is on TV, and he's really cool.
It's way cooler live.
It's really Leo Rush. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to that match. God damn it, that was such a fun match to
Matt
watch.
Riddle.
Matt Riddle. Oh yeah,
he's Marty great. Skrull.
Yeah,
that's the wrestler that you really. Need to see
Oh yeah,
live
that's
to
the
appreciate.
Best answer right there. That's Marty the best Skrull. Answer. Yeah, for sure.
You really need to see him live.
Here we go. This is to follow up with that. Our good friendo El Ingobernable Original Adam Mayhem says. So that McIntyre versus Lorcan match gave me a headache and my back hurts now. I agree with that. With that in mind, what's the hardest hitting match you've seen on TV and one you've seen live?
Hardest hitting on TV was Okada Shibata.
And live was probably Lorcan Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time coming up with a better one than that. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Shibata stuff.
Yeah, and the dirt sheet, I think.
Because fuck. Let's see here. This is kind of a funny question and kind of apropos. The One Piece is Real says, how do you feel about Alicia Fox basically being the mid-card championship in the cruiserweight division? She kind of is. There's been three contenders so far and two champions.
Low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. Hey, friendos. With WWE having recent call-ups, which indie wrestlers would you like to see in NXT?
Well, the rumor is Leo Rush is headed there.
Yeah. That would be a good addition.
Very, very excited.
He's awesome.
To see that. Yeah, he would. Man, he would be a. I'd actually just prefer to see him just go straight to 205 Live because it's kind of obvious that's where he's going to end
up.
Yeah, be fantastic.
Adam Cole.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
I would say Ricochet, but he seems. He's got that junior heavyweight title match against Takahashi end of this month.
I want to see him follow through on what he said he
wanted
to do.
Oh, he wants to follow the Finn Balor
because he can
path.
Do it.
Yes, he can.
He can absolutely do
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Because I have kind of problems with Ricochet's like mic skills, but I think Finn Balor kind of proved you don't need great mic skills. Like,
yeah.
You can do the bear as long as you're comfortable in front of a large crowd.
Like I said, I've seen at the end of one of the PWG shows I have on DVD, Ricochet drops a promo, and it's very heartfelt.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah. I wonder if the Japanese audience, the New Japan audience, if that might be a bit more intimidating or if it might throw you off your game a little bit. If inherently, you know, I wonder how many of these people are actually understanding what I'm saying. You know, I wonder if that's a thing.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Butch Bacon's grease catcher, Jerome Murray. At the moment, does anyone know what Dolph Ziggler's gimmick is? Because to me, he seems like delusional, jealous guy who missed his chance to shine. It seemed like when he first turned heel, they were kind of doing the Chris Jericho circa 2009 type thing.
Yeah.
Where he's talking really slow.
Yeah.
But now he just seems bitter.
Yeah, I know. Now he's just heel guy.
Yeah. But it's not specific to anything.
Why did he turn? Because he kept on losing to who? Did he keep on losing to somebody?
Yeah. And then he started hitting people with chairs.
Yeah, he started hitting people with chairs. I know it's somebody, obviously.
Now
I know people watching this are screaming the answer at us.
But now he's pretty much mid-level heel jobber now.
Yeah. Was it Miz? No, he beat... Well, he beat Miz for the IC title at No Mercy. And then he lost it, like, pretty soon afterwards.
Yeah, so Miz could have his match against Sami Zayn at Survivor Series, right? Yeah, that was the next month.
Yeah.
They really dropped the ball with Dolph winning the IC title. That could have been pretty major. That could have been a massive storyline. Because that pop he got when he won was huge.
It was pretty big. I just wonder if the...
I'm not saying they could have pushed him to be a world champion. They could have done something with it.
Yeah, no. No, they totally...
I mean, much credit we give SmackDown for coming up with interesting stories. It seems like they come up with interesting stories to a point, and then once they reached the end of what they thought they were going to do, they don't do afterwards, like the Heath Slater Rhino thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they never thought he would be as over as what he was.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they got the tag belts on him and Rhino, it seemed like, oh, we don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
And so they held the titles for a while, dropped them, and then more or less disappeared. And now they're going the Raw, where they'll just job all the time. So.
This is interesting. Psycho Vic Holland says, this Sunday in ICW, Drew Galloway / McIntyre will be in a barbed wire massacre against Jack Jester. Knowing ICW's ties to WWE, if you were Vince or Hunter, would you call Mark Dallas and have him pull the plug?
Maybe on the barbed wire aspect. Mark,
that's exactly what I was going to say. How about just a straight up match? Let's take this to the next level
or maybe,
and make it a regular match.
So I heard a thought I read about this, that it was going to be a barbed wire rope match.
Oh, God. None of that sounds good.
I mean, maybe they'll use gimmicked barbed wire.
Yeah. I mean, we've always said that, look, blood is kind of a superficial injury, like getting cut open. It's kind of, it's like you're not going to get a concussion from getting hit by barbed wire.
I know, but as we've seen from Sabu and Terry Funk's barbed wire match, you can get some serious injuries from being involved in those type of battles.
Yeah, those fuckers are using real shit, man.
Oh, I know.
These guys are going to be using gimmick shit.
I hope so. Sweet chin music. So I think it's safe to say... TJP is officially heel. With that said, what is the most evil-sounding video game song that could replace his current theme?
You know what they should replace it with?
What?
What's that one at the end of Portal?
Oh, Still Alive.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still TJ Perkins. This is a good question. Empire of Cleanliness, Andrew Mullen. With Bray Wyatt off of SmackDown, I know this is an NXT or 205 Live question. What do you think is going to be next for Eric Rowan and Luke Harper?
I don't know. They really dropped the ball with Luke Harper.
Yeah, man.
Really did.
I'm telling you, give him a Dude Lebowski gimmick. How great would that be? We have gold with that idea, man. A Dude Lebowski gimmick with Luke Harper would be amazing.
He should have been in the Orton Wyatt match at WrestleMania.
Sweatpants. A robe.
All right, you could be into that.
That would be great.
No, it wouldn't be great. It'd be funny, but they wouldn't get him anywhere.
Give him one of Heavy Machinery to be his John Goodman character.
It would be funny, but it wouldn't get him anywhere.
And Oni Lorcan could be his Steve Buscemi guy.
Okay.
Be a great faction. You know, you're no-selling me right now. I don't appreciate it.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. People always ask what tag teams need to be on what shows, but instead of that, what two people need to form a tag team?
Luke Harper. Djokovic.
I threw you a softball there.
And who did I say? Oni Lorcan. Shut up, Oni. You're not in the conversation. Luke Harper says, what does this have to do with Vietnam, man? That'd be great.
You're out of your element.
Djokovic pulls out a gun in front of everybody.
Oh, this is a good question.
Go ahead.
Dan Olding, if WWE were to bring back Breaking Ground.
Ooh, I wish they would.
Oh. I know. Which five NXT superstars would you want the focus to be on?
Aleister Black, man. Do you think, no, that would kill the mystique? You think so? I think he's always like that, though.
Maybe.
You just don't want to see him pulling into like an In-N-Out?
No. No.
Oh, man. Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong would be good.
That would be interesting.
No Way Jose would be really interesting.
Yes.
Eric Young.
He's not there a lot, though.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't train at the center.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say Bobby Roode, but he doesn't train at the center either.
Mm.
So we need people who are performance center attendees.
No Way Jose.
It'd be interesting to see Billy Kay and Peyton Royce on there because they seem charming.
Ah, see that? I would say no because it kind of kills like part of their whole thing right now are these backstage, like through their iPhone segments.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's just how they are normally, though.
I would just look, if it is or isn't, I would want them to be in character on that Breaking Ground. That would be fantastic if they're like that.
Heavy Machinery.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, Heavy Machinery would be good. And then like I would say like an Aaliyah maybe.
Yeah.
Because you'd get like this sort of she's been there for a little while, but
Hideo Itami. That'd be an interesting story.
He'd be the doctor all the time.
But that'd be an interesting story. But, you know, like he got there, had a setback with the shoulder injury, came back, had another setback.
How depressing was that Daniel Bryan shit in Total Bellas?
Oh, pretty.
Yeah, that's what you'd get.
With Itami, at least right now, it seems like, based on the spoilers I read for this last round of tapings, you know, with every setback, it seems like they're not saying, oh, you're injury prone. We're just going to.
They're not giving up on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. No, that'd be good. I just think that might be depressing. Especially if he gets injured one more time, that could be really depressing.
Potentially.
So here we go. We didn't really talk about this. Dom the Man Hilberg. The name Aleister Black. Better or worse than Tommy End?
Oh, Tommy End's still better.
It's still better. But I'm way more into it now I was when I first saw.
Now that we see the total package.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Tommy End is such a great name, though.
It is. Scott Steiner's favorite bastard, Jacob Barnes.
You bastard.
Hello, friendos. I've been thinking about factions recently. Factions. And they are really lacking in WWE. How would you guys build a couple new factions? Well, we have Sanity in NXT. We have the Wyatt. We had the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
The New Day.
Mm-hmm.
They're a faction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he means large.
Mm.
You know, like DX.
Yeah.
What at their peak they have about 5 or 6 members.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, we haven't seen factions like that in a while. We thought we were going to get a faction with this new evolution thing, but that seems to have been tossed aside because of the shakeup.
Yeah, in retrospect, I'm totally fine with that, too. Because, like, I wouldn't have... My prediction for WrestleMania was Samoa Joe was going to interfere on behalf of both Kevin Owens and Triple H. I'm glad we didn't see that because we got, like, just in a vacuum, straight-up wrestling matches.
Yes.
I was totally fine with that.
Yeah. Yes, me too.
I love Sanity as a faction.
Yes.
I really do. The New Day, I mean, yeah, faction. Yeah, I guess, because there's 3 of them, but they're kind of more just a Freebird tag team.
Yeah.
But I'm fine. I'm fine whenever. Like, for example, the cool thing about Sanity is that you have Alice, Damo. You have him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You know, it's like each member of Sanity, with the possible exception of the guy that I love the most, Alexander Wolf, really has potential to go out and do their own thing. Alexander Wolf does seem like faction member who can eat a loss. I think it's great for him that he's in Sanity.
Yeah.
I always look too far into the future. When I look at factions, I'm like, okay, well, can each of these guys go out and kill it on their own?
Yeah.
And it's like, it always bums me out because I'm like, well, Alexander Wolf was just kind of there.
Yeah, he was on NXT TV a couple times before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sanity. He was. Yeah, yeah.
One more from the Undisputed YouTube Game Review Champion, TGX.
Okay.
His question. Apparently, he's been watching some classic wrestling from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and after watching people like Haystacks Calhoun,
nice.
Ivan Koloff, and Lou Thesz, do you think there's anybody from the pre-Hulkamania era that could have been successful in modern WWE? If so, who? And he thinks the obvious answer would be Buddy Rogers.
That's good.
I think Dusty could have. He's pre-Hulkamania.
Pre-Hulkamania.
With the amount of charisma and mic skills that Dusty had.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you, but let me pose this question to you. Dusty was 1,000% charisma. He had more charisma than maybe anybody ever in
yeah.
the business.
Yeah.
Do you think his presentation would fly today? Not the best looking dude in the world.
No, I know, but I mean, it seems like in the last year or two, they've really been focusing more on the quality of the performer as opposed strictly on
true
what they look like.
True.
So I think, yeah.
Dusty, when you look at Dusty, he seems like one of the most 1970s person or 80, early 80s you'd ever see. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know anybody who would look like that these days.
Oh.
He's a crazy looking character.
Yeah.
You know? Bruiser Brody.
Oh, yeah.
Bruiser Brody. I mean, yeah. He kind of crossed over like from late 70s.
Stan Hansen.
You think Stan Hansen, really? Guy who looks like he's 50 even when he's like 25.
One more question.
I like this one here from Hamza Halal. If you guys could have Dave Meltzer on the show, what would you ask him?
Wow.
This would be the only thing I would ask him. I would ask him all about Japanese wrestling culture. I would want to know about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's like, I think he's been covering that stuff for decades now. And I'm fascinated by the parallels or lack thereof of how pro wrestling evolved in the public consciousness here in the States versus the same in Japan.
Yeah.
And why and how it's perceived there versus how it's perceived here current day.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And I think he'd probably have some interesting insight into that.
Yeah.
That's what I would want to know.
Yes.
We should open some packages.
Oh, yeah, we have to do that, too.
We have, because I went to the thing from the first time since WrestleMania. We have a lot of packages here. These first ones are from our good friend, Jefferson. I believe he slid into my DMs and said that he has some stuff here for us with regards to possible punishments, I think, for predictions. Stuff.
Interesting. Oh, wow.
Holy crap, look at that.
Here's the note. Here's to one half of the greatest podcast in pro wrestling that doesn't have Stone Cold or Jericho.
What?
From Jefferson. And this takes me back to my teenage years when I actually used to have Philadelphia Eagles Zubaz pants.
You actually had Zubaz pants?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember that part.
Well, I didn't know you then.
No. I mean, I imagine you probably would have said that here on the show.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, Jefferson. That's fantastic.
Food from, I would imagine, Canada.
Some
Dutch Crunch potato
chips. Barbecue kettle chips. Ketchup Lays.
What the hell?
That's weird.
And why is there some weird dude's face on this shit? That's weird. Ketchup Lays. I'm not eating that.
I'll try those.
Ooh, what's this? Oh, man.
Candy. That's all you.
Oh, nice. Look at this. I love names. Caramilk.
Crispy Crunch. Coffee Crisp. Oh, and Smarties are different.
Oh, I remember Smarties. I remember Smarties from English, from England.
Yeah, we have Smarties here. They're different, though.
The Canadians and the English, I think, share, like...
Some candies?
I think so, yeah. Oh, here we go. What was this? There's a note inside.
A note.
Because there's a couple shirts in there, too, but I'm saving this for the end. Oh, here we go. All right. Hey, Stephen Larson, hope this makes the trip to you intact. Inside is an assortment of Canada-only chocolate bars and a bag of ketchup chips and a Manitoba-made mesquite kettle barbecue chips. I know that Larson doesn't do sugar, so the chips are for you.
Thank you.
Although I highly recommend you try a small piece of the caramilk, and Steve, likewise, you try a couple of the chips. There are two shirts in here. One is a gift for you, Steve. The other is for you to wear if you lose predictions of payback. It's a Nia Jax shirt, apparently. If you win, then I think Larson should have to wear this shirt, although it may be a bit moo-moo-ish on him, as the kicker, the loser, should sing a couple verses from Nia's theme song.
These ketchup chips are, like, they have a lot of vinegar in them.
There's this guy. Oh, look at that. Funny. Oh, man, that's so cool, Jefferson.
That's great.
I got a Mr. McMahon mugshot shirt. That's fantastic. Look at that guy. That was so great when they did this.
I know.
Act! And then look at the punishment shirt here.
I like Nia Jax's theme, so I'll sing that.
Oh, I know. I like her theme song, too. I have no problem singing that. I'll wear that shit. I'm not like most girls. Perfect.
That's
perfect
cool.
Punishment shirt. Thank you very much, Jefferson. Really appreciate you and your support.
Yes,
you
thank you very much. Stuff, thank man. You. Thank really you very much. We have one more.
Oh, yeah. Uno mas. We have more we're going to do in the dirt sheet tomorrow, too. We've got like enough packages for the next 2 weeks. But if you guys want to send us shit, you can. P.O. Box 1814 Orange Vale, California 95662.
People don't like when I chew near the mic.
Yeah, nobody does. Oh, it's from Sandra. It's from our good friend, Alessandra. I think I know what this is.
You should try those ketchup chips. They're kind of weird.
Oh, good.
They're different.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
All right. So our friendos over there at Funhouse, James and Lawrence.
Yes.
They became pro wrestlers.
Yes.
And they did it at a promotion called, they did it for like a Rooster Teeth doc. Millennium Wrestling Academy.
Millennium Pro Wrestling.
This must be one of their academies. And apparently they put on a really fantastic show.
The future of professional wrestling.
Sandra went and she said that, you know, there were some... Those Funhouse fans are passionate people, and the wrestling organization did a good job accommodating them, making allowances for them, and it's fantastic. Like, they had the Rooster Teeth crew out there filming, and James and Lawrence got to, I believe, so James' name was James Angel. Do you remember what Lawrence's name was?
Well, in his video game, character's name, Lawrence Sakamoto, I think.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I think that's what it was, too.
But he was on Twitter for a bit. He was going by the Troll.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So
he was healing it up, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Twitter. Yeah. They're a tag team. So that's really cool. What is it? Millennium Pro Wrestling? Is that what it is? All right. Well, if you guys are in the L.A. area, I think they're in the L.A. area, check out Millennium Pro Wrestling. Apparently, they put on a really good show. And thank you, Sandra, for picking these up for
us. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Anyways, stop eating these chips.
Yeah, my goodness. That's it for now, and we'll have the dirt sheet up for you guys tomorrow. We're also going to have a segment from the Internet Darlings panel we did. That's going to go up tomorrow as well.
Yeah, first thing.
Yeah, that's right. So keep a lookout for that. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.